I'd like to read to you from the scriptures, Psalm 139, verses 1 to 18. Psalm 139, 1 to 18 from the New English Version. David says, "You have searched me, Lord, and know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Oh, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would be outnumbered. The grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." May God bless the reading of his word, and we shall return to that psalm in the preaching of his word a little later on. I'd like to speak to you this morning on trusting God when life seems uncertain. Have you found that life has a habit of catching you unawares? You know, when you least expect it. One moment you're cruising through life, everything seems to be going so fine, everything seems so well, and the next you're caught up in a whirlwind of the unknown. Whether it's a health scare, loss of your job, or just the general anxiety of living in the world at the moment, not knowing what tomorrow's going to hold for you. Uncertainty can be downright paralyzing, can't it? Have you found that uncertainty throws up all kinds of emotions in your mind? Fear. What if something bad happens? Or anger. God, why is this happening to me? Or sadness. I miss how things used to be. They're not with us anymore. Guilt. I wish I hadn't have said those things, or done those things. Frustration. I can't fix it anymore. And as you get older, like me, that becomes a constant theme in your life. I can't fix it anymore. I have to admit, I don't like uncertainty. I'm sure you don't either. You see, uncertainty isn't just about feeling uncomfortable. It's about losing control. But here's my question for you this morning. When life is uncertain, do you find that trusting God comes naturally to you? We've all been there, haven't we? You know, when the future seems so foggy and prayer seems to be unanswered. You've prayed and prayed and prayed, and there doesn't seem to be any answer. And circumstances are moving so fast you can't keep up. You can't adjust. We all know what it's like to wonder, where is God when life stops making sense for us? How do you trust God when you can't see what's coming next? David understood this, the psalmist. He understood a certainty perhaps like no one else has done. This is reflected in many of his psalms. I think that's why God's people find comfort and strength in the psalms. They found it right down through the centuries. They've turned to the book of Psalms, and I'm sure you have done the same thing too. David's psalms reflect his heart, his faith and doubts, his victories and failures. One minute you find him crying out to God in praise and worship, and the next moment he's confessing his sins. Another moment he's seeking to worship God in a deeper way. In this psalm that I read to you this morning, Psalm 139, David shows us that you can trust God no matter what phase of life you find yourself in. How uncertain it may be, God is a rock. He's a certainty in uncertain times. Look at what David says in this psalm, verse 9 and 10. He says, God, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, for your right hand will hold me fast. David says, your hand will guide me, and your hand will hold me fast. Yes, it may be true that uncertainty is real, but God's grip is stronger. He will hold you fast. Are you familiar with God's grip upon your life when you face uncertainty? When life doesn't seem to make sense, are you sure and certain of God's grip on your life? 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, quite a shock. No symptoms whatsoever. Quite quickly, I had my operation in Prince Philip Hospital. After I had my operation, about 2 or 3 days later, put me in a side room. And then I had this experience of feeling so ill. I never felt so ill in all my life. I could identify with the psalmist. The experience was real. My emotions were scrambled. I was looking for God, seeking for God. I was in a little side room, and as the dawn began to break, I could see out a little window in my side room that the dawn was coming up. I could hear the dawn chorus, and I was really scrambling emotionally. And then suddenly, God's word came right into my mind. And the words were I've just read to you. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. I felt it. I felt the grip of the Almighty. I felt it strong and true and powerful, lifting me, encouraging me, lifting me out of my situation. I realized what David said. It was true. It was true what David said. He will hold you fast. And he held me fast in that hospital ward. And I'm here today testifying to the fact of God's grip. Yes, uncertainty may be real, but God's grip is greater. You see, what you think about God and your relationship to him determines what you think about everything else that makes up your busy world. Your family, God's word, his will, sin, faith and obedience. You see, wrong ideas about God will ultimately lead you in wrong directions and lead ultimately to a wrong destiny. I remember hearing the story of a teacher. It was the art lesson. And the teacher said to the youngsters, only about 6-7 years of age, "I want you to draw a picture, whatever you want." And so they all got out their pencils and the paper and they began to draw their particular picture. And there's one little boy there, Johnny, he was drawing his picture, but he had his hand over it like this, and he was working so hard at drawing his picture. And the teacher went round looking at the various pictures that children had drawn. And she came to Johnny and said, "Johnny, what are you drawing?" "I'm drawing God, miss." "Drawing God? Nobody knows what God is like," said the teacher. "They will, miss, when I finish." What is God like? What is God like? What is your picture of God? Is it of your own imaginings? Or is the God that you really know the God of the Bible? Because it's the God of the Bible that David is talking about. That's why we need to have the right view of God. Not the God of my imaginings, but the God of the Bible. What the Bible says about God is how we get a true picture of what God is really like. David says, "Lord God, you know me intimately." Not only does God know David intimately, he knows you too. Look at what David says about God knowing him. He says, "Look, God, you've looked deep into my heart. You know all about me, God. You know when I am resting or when I am working, and from heaven you discover my thoughts." He says, "You notice everything I do and everywhere I go before I even speak a word. You know what I will say." That's quite staggering, isn't it? "And with your powerful arm, you protect me from every side." I can't understand all this. Such wonderful knowledge is far too much above me. I can't understand it. David says the one that's holding him fast knows all about him. What is true of David is true of you. God knows you. He knows your actions. He knows your locations. He knows your thoughts, your words, your motives. God knows you. Even more, he knows what is best for you. And because he knows what is best for you, he wants to guide you in the right way. He hems you in, behind and before. He puts his hand on you to steady you. In the troubling circumstances of life, his hand is a steadying force in your life. He steadies you to direct you. God's knowledge of you is to guide you and to protect you. When David contemplates how intimate God's knowledge of him really is, he says, "God, I'm not equal to this." I mean, such knowledge is amazing. It's absolutely astonishing. In fact, one of the Psalms talks about God's knowledge where God, "You count the number of stars and you know them all by name." I find that staggering. I mean, tomorrow I'll have forgotten half of your names. I don't mean to, but that's the way it is for me. I don't remember the names too much. But God, the God of the galaxy, he knows each star by name. He calls them by name. But the other part of that verse says, and he heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. In other words, the majesty and glory and wisdom of God's knowledge is amazing. Yet, though he knows the galaxies, he knows you. Is it about 6 or 7 billion people that live on the planet? And here we are this morning in Greenfield, and you think nobody knows you really, but God does. He knows you through and through. And so David is absolutely overwhelmed by the height and depth of God's knowledge. He said, "God, this is just too amazing for me. I can't grasp it. It's too much." Yes, uncertainty is real. But God's grip is stronger. He will hold you fast. David says, yes, Lord, you're holding me fast because not only do you know me, but the reason why you know me is because you made me. Look at what he says in verses 13 and 16. You're the one who has put me together inside my mother's womb, and I praise you because of the wonderful way you created me. Aren't you glad the way that God has made you to be? Do you reject yourself when you look in the mirror? When I look in the mirror, I know I'm getting older. I can see a few wrinkles here and there. And lots of white hair now. Where do they come from? But God knows us. God knows you. Everything you do is marvelous, David says. Of this I have no doubt. Nothing about me is hidden from you. I was secretly woven together out of human sight. But with your own eyes you saw my body being formed. Even before I was born, you had written in your book everything about me. Yes, the God that's holding David fast is holding you fast too. Because you're his craftsmanship. You were made secretly in your mother's womb. And God was the artist. And God doesn't make junk. You're his workmanship. You're his craftsmanship. This emphasizes your purpose, your dignity, and his divine artistry. This is how God has made you to be. Shakespeare, in his play Hamlet, acknowledges what the psalmist had said many hundreds of years before. Hamlet says, what a piece of work is man. How noble in reason. How infinite in faculty, in form and in moving. How express and admirable. In this psalm, David is acknowledging that the one who was holding him fast was present at his conception, at his birth. And he was there at yours too. Because you're God's craftsmanship and made in his image and likeness, he has a plan and a purpose for you. Have you found what it is yet? So when David is facing uncertainty, he reminds himself who it is who is holding him fast. It is God who made him and the God who knows him. Let me remind you of those verses. David says, God, if I rise on wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will hold me, will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast, even there. What are some of the there places you found yourself in? Maybe you're in one of their places right now, this morning, when you come into this building. You know, that place you didn't choose to be in. That place you didn't expect yourself to be found in. That place you don't really understand why you're in that place right now. The there place for me was in that side ward in Prince Philip Hospital. That was a there place for me. What's your there place this morning? David is saying there is no there place where God is not already present. You think because the God that knows you and made you leaves you in a there place, doesn't come to your aid or your help? Notice David doesn't just say, God leaves me in the there place. He says, your hand will guide me. What is your there place this morning? Maybe you've come in and you're hemmed in by that there place and you think God is not there. He's already there. Will you allow him to guide you? To lead you? Your hand will guide me, says David. You see, God doesn't just watch our lives from a distance. He leads and guides us out of such situations. He's there all the time. Sometimes we're unaware of it. You remember the poem of the footprints, where the young man is being led with the Lord across the sand. And as he walks across the beach with the Lord, They're talking together, and suddenly he says, I notice in the sky that suddenly the scenes of my previous life and the life that I've lived show up in the sky. And he says, I walk and I look. He said, and then suddenly towards the end of our walk, I notice that some of the most difficult periods of my life, some of the there places, I look and I find, God, I can only see, Lord, I can only see one step footprints. I can't see two sets of footprints. I can only see one. God, didn't you promise to be with me then? And God says, yes. In that there place, that difficult place, that dark place that you might be in right now. God says, when you couldn't carry your burdens, when you couldn't sustain the weight of the difficulty, I lifted you with my hand. I lifted you up. I carried you through. And as you look back, you see there's only one footprint. That's when I carried you when you couldn't carry yourself. I will hold you with my right hand. Yes, uncertainty is real, isn't it? But God's grip is stronger. He will hold you with his right hand. Here's the question. How does God hold you fast? How does he do it? He holds you fast when you're facing overwhelming situations. Have you ever felt that your back was against the wall? Boxed in by circumstances that you couldn't get out of, not knowing what to do, where to turn. He will hold you fast in such circumstances. This is how the children of Israel felt when they were coming out of Egypt. Here was the children of Israel, they were coming out of Egypt, and behind them was the whole Egyptian army. I wonder how you would have felt if you'd been in that situation. Children of Israel, they looked to God. There they stood, vulnerable, with no help, no support. And yet God intervened on their behalf. In fact, the scripture says, when Moses was reflecting upon God's intervention for them, he says, God, your glorious right hand delivered us. Your glorious right hand delivered us. Yes, God will hold you fast when you are in difficulty. There was such a person in the Bible called Asaph. And he confessed in Psalm 73 that he was in a difficult situation. That he was really struggling with his faith. He was looking around and he thought those who were not believers were doing better than he was. He honestly admitted that, God, I really need your help. And God met his need, just as he met the need of the children of Israel. And when Moses was reflecting on that particular incident, he says to God, your right hand, Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. When Moses uses terms like right hand, he's referring to God's intervention when human strength fails, when we're exhausted and on our knees, God intervenes. You see, he holds you fast when you face situations that you're facing this morning. I don't know you. I don't know your life. I don't know what challenges you're going to meet next week. But God does. And that can create a great deal of uncertainty. But God wants you to know this morning whether next week you're going to get a letter from the doctor or the hospital that things are not too good. Maybe you're facing injustice or fear. Or maybe it's just the fact of uncertainty and anxiety and fear. God wants you to know that whatever your circumstances, he will hold you fast. I remember when I was in Nigeria, and I was in a place called Warri. Funny name, isn't it, Warri? And that was the name of the place, and I had to get a plane from Warri to Lagos, the capital, because I was having meetings in Lagos. And for some reason or another, the plane had gone. So how was I going to get to Lagos? So one of the team members that was in Nigeria said, I'll ask the man that owns the airline if he can help us. So we went to see this man, this great big mansion. And we explained our situation. He said, oh, he said, I have a little plane that's leaving in about half an hour. He said, it's taking one of, he owned the oil wells as well in Nigeria. So he said, well, he said, if you could, one of my workers is, needs to be in Lagos. He says, in fact, there are two of them. He said, you can get on a small plane. Oh, wonderful. Never been in a small plane, but I feel quite important in getting that small plane. So I get on that small plane. There's only about six of us in that plane. So the plane takes off. Have you ever heard of an electric storm? Well, that plane hit an electric storm. And it was thrown about, blown about like a piece of cork. And the young man sitting next to me was terrified. I said, relax. He thought I was mad. He said, relax. I said, why? I said, why? Why? He said, how can you be so calm? I said, because I'm held by Almighty God. And this plane is not going to go down because I have yet to have meetings in the capital, Lagos. So sit back and relax. He will hold you fast in the most turbulent experiences of your life if you allow him to hold you. He will hold you fast. God will hold you fast when you face uncertain conditions. He will hold you fast, giving you protection when facing spiritual battles. Do you ever face those spiritual battles? What about the times when you face temptations, spiritual attacks, or discouragement? Does God forget all about you? No, he will hold you fast. Hold you fast from being swept away by those uncertain situations. When the people of God were feeling surrounded by threats, when they were captives in Babylon, Isaiah speaks an encouraging word to these discouraged people that were facing these spiritual battles. He says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious. Look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you surely. I will help you surely. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. If that was a promise to God's Asian people, how much more can we find God's protection and help for us today? Finally, God will hold you fast when you stumble and fall. Listen to the encouraging words of David in Psalm 37. He says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Maybe this describes you this morning. Have you stumbled? Have you stumbled in this past week? Stumbled in trouble. Stumbled in hardship. Stumbled in confusion. Maybe stumbled in sin. But here, in this psalm, is one of the most tender promises in the scriptures. Even though you may stumble, God says you will not be destroyed or abandoned or left to ruin. Why? Why is that so? Because the Lord upholds you with his hand. You see, God's sustaining presence ensures that even when you face obstacles and setbacks, God is there to uphold you and to keep you from falling. Does the name Robert Harkness mean anything to you? Well, he was the pianist for the American evangelist R.A. Torrey, who toured the gospel mission in America and in various parts of the world. And one of those missions that was taking place, a young man who committed his life to Christ said to Harkness, I wonder if I can hold on to my faith. I wonder if I can hold on. So Harkness wrote a letter to Miss Ada Harper Havisham, who was a prolific hymn writer. And he said, can you write a hymn for the struggles that this young man is experiencing? And this is what she wrote. Maybe you remember it, or you've heard it. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he can hold me fast. I could never keep my hold. He must hold me fast, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. How reassuring it is to know this morning that God is holding you fast. So this week, don't try holding everything together. Let God hold you together. Live as someone that's gripped by the right hand of God. Sense the divine grip upon your life. Imagine this next week, walking through this next week, with your hand in God's hand, not a loose handshake, not a polite touch, but the grip that a father has upon a child when they walk through busy traffic. Feel God's grip upon your life. So, every business meeting you attend, every hospital or doctor's appointment you will meet, when looking after your grandchildren, during the school run, whilst you're shopping, through the tests you might be taking, the class or lecture you are attending, the temptations and doubt you may be facing, and every anxious thought that may arise in your mind, remember, God's hand is holding you fast. And that's not just symbolic. It's what will stabilize you, guide you, and keep you from slipping. Could it be this morning that you have never put your trust in God at all? Never had the assurance of what I've been talking about this morning. Not certain of God holding you in times of uncertainty, feeling His grip. If you trust Him, you can experience God holding you fast.